Una Dana. You know, it's your boy Dennis Obaro, and I am the host of the Journey Podcast. Now you see, on this very episode, when you're listening to Soul, yes, I have a very special guest with me, and he goes by the name Timmy Agbaji, popularly known as the Orang Master.
Orang now.
Okay. So, you know, our elder said, when people that are wise are talking, what do? You listen. So I'm going to advise you on this episode, pay good attention and what? Don't leave me. Get a pen and get a paper, because you're going to jot things down. Alright everybody, welcome to the Journey Podcast, and it's your host Dennis Barrow. And with me on this episode, I have Timmy Agbaji.
So Timmy is an entertainer, MC, and an event host. Timmy also finished from law school, right? So Timmy is a lawyer. So yes. I'm so excited. Let's get right into this.
Hello Timmy, what's up?
Bro, it's so nice to be here. I feel so blessed and privileged to be on here with you. I'm so proud of you. Let's keep it up.
I'm the one that should be honored.
But I understand.
All right. So Timmy, this podcast is basically about telling people your journey, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So the first question that I'm going to be asking you is, can you tell us your journey?
Well, I would like to say first, I don't think I've gotten to where I want to get or even close at all, but I'll still like to share the part of where I was to where I am right now, because I believe success and perfection, they are processes. So it's not something that I want to
attend.
There are some events I wanted to achieve that time as an host, and I was praying so much. I was working so tenaciously to achieve those events, to host those events. Then after a while, those events became the regular identity for the brand. Then I longed for more that time. Like, I wanted something better than those events. And I didn't forget that those events were what were my prayer points back then. So I feel it's all a process, and I'm so happy to share this, because I feel that a lot of people at some point, all of us actually, I know a lot of people, all of us need some clarity and some direction as to what we're doing. It gives us better opportunity to plan and achieve more, because we don't spend our time wrongly working on the wrong things and not finding that, oh, we're on the wrong path. So now that brings me to my journey as an MC. Someday back then in school, I was in part three. I used to be in the school still at that time, and I was living in a room with church pastors. Like, they were like top escorts in their fellowships and all. So my hostel that time, my room particularly in annex that time, was mostly, say, 80% of pastors. Then the other guy that was not even a pastor was a preacher. Then there was another guy that doesn't preach and doesn't do pastor and stuff, but was very gentle. Then there was some guy that was in part five that doesn't like talk to all of us in the room. So I was probably like the most, I don't know what to call it, but I was just not in the room. Now, I woke up one day and told them I wanted to be an MC. And I'm not trying to sound like a motivational speaker right now. I just woke up one day and I wanted to be an MC. I told them. But it started after a time I went to one event. And I saw the way the guy that hosted the event, he killed the show. He did so well. People were hailing him and all. Then he said to me, I was like, what this guy is doing? I can't do it. Like, what this guy do? I said, I'll be doing. I'm like, and I wasn't bragging or trying to be confident, too overconfident rather. I was sure that I could do what that guy was doing, because I'd done something like that for my church get-together before in the past. Then I woke up, I started lobbying for an event. I told my people in the room. They didn't believe, actually. Like, they didn't believe. Then I told people, I lobbied for jobs, I lobbied for shows. You know, the normal, what have you done before?
Yeah.
What have you worked with? Who can recommend you? I didn't really actually have anybody that could recommend me, because I'd not done any event for anybody that time. The only event I could have done was on my get-together in church back then. But I still gave it a shot. Then I was lucky someday till there was this lady in one of these departments that said she couldn't give me the big freshers party, but she could give me the events on their week, and it won't be bad, but it's not as big as the freshers party, because they won't trust someone that has not been seen before for the freshers party. I got the job. It was a variety night. And luckily for me, I don't know how it happened, a lot of people came for that variety night.
Like, nice.
Contesting for SCG elections. I don't know what happened. It just became an important event from an unimportant event. And I was so happy after the event. I got so much like, I don't want to say love now, reviews, actually, feedback, because it was my first time on stage. I'd never held a
mic before
to do something like that. Like, even my roommate, when they, like, somebody came to my room from the block and said he was part of the escorts of the department, and then when he mentioned that I was in the, what do we call it, the variety net, he told them black and that, I know this guy, Asabiam, he is not an MC. Like, no, the guy, and the guy didn't lie, because he didn't know me as an MC. Even me, I didn't know myself as an MC back then. So, yeah. And then he said, when he now got there, and like, a lot of people in that department were waiting for the girl that actually gave me the job to flop, because she saw the only reason that, the only best time that she would have given a job to a starter, a beginner, a rookie, was the faculty week. So then they said a lot of people are waiting for her to actually mess up and be able to mock her. But unfortunately for me and the girl, they couldn't do that. Like, they were so surprised that they didn't actually believe that I was still a beginner in the game. I was so happy. And afterwards, I started getting more jobs. But after a time, I got more confident to do my stuff. I got a job. And when I started, I never knew you could make money from being an MC. Like, big money. It was never a reason for me doing the MC jobs I did back then. And I'm being honest right now. It was more of the contentment that I did something and people loved me for it. I think that was something I really longed for, because I'd done a lot of things in school. Bro, I've done businesses. I did the magazine business in my part one. It was a colossal failure. And I put, as broke as I used to be in my part one, I used to save money to at least push that stuff and stuff. Then in my part two, I tried to go to my academics a bit to like boost the GPs I lost in part one.
Yeah.
Then after I got my balance, I started the business again. It was going fine, but I needed money, and I was not of the rich background that could like push that stuff myself. So I just had to calm down. Then the MC stuff just came. The time I did that event and I got good feedback, I felt so fulfilled. I wanted to do another one. Then luckily for me, that my second event was a dinner. They paid me good money, and like, I was like, even though they jagged me, they embarrassed me. If I tell you the journey of how those people embarrassed me before they gave me that job, I don't know. I just think somebody somewhere actually puts in words for me, because I don't believe they could actually give me that job after that interview. Because when I bid for the job, it was a big department, actually, like one of the top three departments in school that time. And they told me that I had the F1 tree to come and lobby for a job when I have no credential or anything I've done before. And I didn't see any department to come. It was their own department that everybody respects them for the caliber of people that they work with. Like, they said a couple of stuff to me. As a matter of fact, they told me to dress up and come with a co-host and come and anchor an empty hall and pretend as if I was hosting the dinner. And I'm not joking. It was not
funny. That's crazy.
No, it was really not funny. And now the babe that I wanted to use as a co-host had more experience. She was opening the radio station in Ibadan that time. But sort of the relationship that we had, she was just telling me all along that I will never do this if not for you, Timmy. Like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I should convince her, because the job didn't mean much to her, but it meant everything
to
me. Me doing that job was going to be a statement to so many people in the industry, the stakeholders, I mean, the people that are going to be employing me or giving me jobs, and people that are going to be rating me and be recommending me, because it's going to be like, even if it's not good, for him to get it that early in his career meant a lot. So I did the job. Luckily for me, I did it well. Then one guy, I think I can't forget the reviews, actually, like standard among all the reviews. Some guy walked up to me. I still remember his name perfectly. His name is Tosin. He walked up to me and told me he had a confession and he had something to say, that he is part of the organizers and he's a very, very, very blatant and blunt critic, that he told them that I would not do that event successfully. That the fact that I had not done it before, and they were giving him a peculiar department, that the people that in that department are not so social. It's just that they have they have the knack for entertainment, but they are not naturally social people. So he walked up to me and told me that he never believed two things, that I had not done that stuff before, that I was new to the game and I could do it that smoothly. That I was very proud, and he had to come and apologize for. He said he actually protested it against the decision that actually approved me hosting the stuff. So those things actually like got me so worried and excited at the same time. Like, some dude that doesn't even know me said no, like big no. And somewhere that knows me that I don't still know how many of them went there and said, I've not seen him most event before, but I think he can do it. And I feel that recommendation and referrals actually go a long way in whatever business you want to do. That's why you see brands, even if you just want WhatsApp message that endorses their product, they go all out to blow it out. So whatever craft you're doing, whatever business you're doing, you need people.
Okay.
And you need recommendations. You need referrals. Now, I would not lie. 70% of the jobs I actually got back then while I was in school and doing my stuff, even till after I left school and got into Lagos and to the mainstream industry, 70% of the jobs came from referrals. From at Miafra. Yeah, we have a job for you. Like, it helped me cut so much orders of having to convince people. And to be honest, most of the jobs I had to like lobby for, they took me so hard to get. Like, they took me so much effort, so much resources to get. Unlike the job that somebody just calls and say, we have heard a lot about you. We'd like to know your child. You have an event coming up on this day. It was always easier for me. So what I used to do, my own first major advertisement strategy is I make sure I deliver excellently on any job I have. So from that job, I have a potential customer coming back to me. Because if it's going to be about who can do more advert and do more stuff, and all, it's going to be whoever has bigger money and bigger strategy. And I might not be able to win that race in time. So I had to like devise my own strategy. So that's basically the major point. Also, there have been a lot of things that happened in my career, the good, the bad. There was never any ugly, but the good and bad times. There was never ugly. Yeah, but just bad moments, actually.
Okay, all right. So, Timmy, something you said that really hits me is this whole referral stuff. And you said that any job you had, you put in your best. I want to ask now, what did you do? Like, what made you stand out as an MC? What did you do behind the scenes to make you perform very well, like in front of people? Or would you say everything you do is just purely talent, that you just had it like inbuilt? Were there anything you did or you were doing to improve yourself that when you went off stage, you always killed it?
Okay. To be honest, to be very, very honest, I'm a very spontaneous person.
Okay.
Somebody has asked me this question before at an event. And they felt I was not being honest. And I was surprised. Half of the, let me say, 80% of all the events I've actually anchored, had not actually planned going there. Now, because I realized that when I plan too much for my event, I suppress myself.
Okay, well.
So it's more of, when I prep too much, I want to be perfect to my audience. And I realized along the journey that people don't want perfection. They want reality.
Word.
They don't want perfection. That's why they say some good girls like bad boys. I'm not saying that is a fact. I'm just giving an instance of something like that. Now, when you come to a venue of students, young people like OE kind of student, I don't want to go too wide and stuff. OE kind of student, you come there and start speaking and British English and phonetics and stuff. They will appreciate you for your effort in English and phonology and grammar, but when somebody comes in and talks to them in a language you understand and relate to them the way they want you to relate to them, that's why you see politicians who come to schools, they will not come and be speaking, they come and be ailing them the way people ail them on a normal day. So I had to embrace that part, and it helped me so much. Like, when I go to host events, I just have to like take 5 minutes to observe the kind of audience that's there. And once I get the kind of people that they are, I try to now flow my normal teamy self and to connect with them. So it's just more like I'm meeting new friends that day. I don't plan it before. I've done a lot of planning before and all. The only time I actually planned were the times I didn't understand what the event was about. For example, when I got my first wedding, I did like a small tutorial. I went to meet one MC that I knew that has hosted the event before, MC Eddie's back then in school. Then I went to meet him in his house in town. He told me the games to play and gave me a sample order of event. I traveled that time from school to Lagos, like a 3.5 hours journey. I practically was envisioning the program and what I was going to say, what I was going to do, how I was going to say it. Like, I planned it, the game. I didn't even plan how the game would be, what will happen if this game doesn't work out. Now, let me not tell you the bubble, the burst in the bubble. When I got to the event, there were these engagements MCs that were always me. They are the traditional ones, the Alaga. They call them Alaga in Europe. So they are the ones that like have to host the engagement. If the P family want them to, you have to wait for them to be done before you can start the wedding reception. So when I got there, they took like extra 2 hours after their time. And guess what? I was not able to handle that microphone for more than 15 minutes. Uh-huh. When I got there, introduced the couple, they danced inside. And as they sat down, the event planner told me that they have to stop the event immediately and move to dance downtown so that people can spray their money and not go away with the money they want to spray them. And that was how the wedding, I was so hopeful, so prepared, so prepped for, ended in 15 minutes. Oh. Like I just said one or two things, and then I was paid already. They've already paid my money. They gave me food. So I didn't even have any reason to be angry at the organizers. And I still told them that I still want to talk. Say, bro, don't bother yourself. The people that own the event, they just want to collect money and dance. So I felt so bad because I had so much expectations about that event. I'd already planned. I had sleepless night. I woke up like 5 times before daybreak. You know, I don't know if you've had that feeling before. Yeah. When something big is about to happen the next day, you won't be able to sleep deeply. You just have to, you just feel like, you wake up, you think that the day is daybreak already. And you find out that, man, it's still 12 a.m. You go back to bed, you think, no, it should be like 9 a.m. You check your clock again, it's 2 a.m. So, like, I had so much expectations, and then I realized that, man, these things aren't difficult. Just be real, be cool with your people, relate to them. So when I go to an event center, for example, I get there. If it's okay now, and that has helped me so much, because there are times that people that contact me for events are posh people.
Okay.
And when I get there, I see elderly Yoruba or elderly different tribe people. I can't go there and be forming, hi, good afternoon, everybody, blah, 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 blah. I do that to just make them know that I'm not an illiterate. Then after I drop that introductory paragraph, I go back to their local dialect and say, when I tell them, say, how my deal, how they go for that side. I can show one traditional joke to them, say, this thing we do today. I know say some of you don't do it before. Like I just do stuff to make them feel that this guy understand what they are doing. So if they are dancing too and I'm in the mood to dance, I dance with them, I play with them, I even tell the dad or the mom that, see, I want to see who will win between the two of you. You know that you have done wedding before, but show them that it's still your body. Like I want them to understand that I'm not distant from them, because if I make them see me as perfect, they will see me as the guy that is their son or their daughter's age mate. He cannot talk to them anyhow. He cannot command them. But when they see me as their friend and part of them, they will easily vibe what I'm doing and connect what I'm doing. So I don't really believe in too much planning for hosting events and stuff. But build your confidence. If you know you have a problem probably with stage fright and stuff, you can work on all of those things. But for me personally, I'm more of a spontaneous host.
Wow, nice one. All right, so Timmy, moving on to the next thing. I can remember there was a time, I think this was 2018 or 19, when you hosted an event for First Bank.
Iboko Awoshika
was there. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
So
I remember perfectly.
I can remember clearly one thing that really got me, that really like the hit of the old day, was when the guy that made that Banana Island ghost movie was there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you MC'd him, or you introduced him to the stage. And I remember something he said. He said in his life he had never seen an MC like you, and he has never been introduced like that. And looking at all these things, I just feel that these are things that you got during the job. As you were doing MC, the more you do it, the better you become. So the question I want to ask now is, can you give us a talk on consistency as it relates to you? I can see that there was a time your YouTube channel got over 1,000 subscribers. So, like, I feel you're in a perfect place to talk about this thing called consistency. Because many a times when we start doing things like this, when we go through tough moments, or maybe we post a video on Instagram or YouTube and we don't get likes, we don't get comments, sometimes we just want to stop. Or we host an event and like we don't get good reviews, most times we want to have good reviews, but something happens that we didn't get a good review. So how do you stay consistent? Now, I don't know if you have ever had an event that you emceed that didn't go well, but basically
a couple of events.
So I just want to get a talk on consistency as it relates to you personally. What keeps you going? What's the drive?
Okay. Naturally, I think I have a man and a woman mentality embedded in me somehow. I don't know. It is a human thing. I overthink a lot. Now, if I don't do anything, if I am idle, I already think that feel like I'm not living the life I'm supposed to be living. I feel that my children will be proud of me. What happens if I make a mistake of not doing anything? I'm just like that. So the best I can do for myself is to convince myself that I'm actually putting in the work. So even if things don't work out, I don't judge myself because I've done the work. Now, bringing that back into work. If I post a video, okay, let me use my YouTube journey, for example. I started being a YouTuber, I think last year, July/August last year, 2019. Before that time, I disliked YouTube. Why? I don't want to use the word hate because hate is a strong word. I really disliked YouTube. I felt that YouTube was just too hectic and tasking and too data consuming. Like, you have to go to one place and channel with watching like 15 minute video, 20 minute video. And I used to feel like people don't watch it like they want the normal Instagram, Facebook, and even WhatsApp interactions. That why will you now build your life on YouTube? I disliked it. Then so my team members are saying, bro, let's do YouTube. Like, let's do YouTubers are doing this Instagram stuff. Like, I never used to listen to them. So there was one day when the studio, that studio was mine. I worked with the studio. So other people also come there. And I was this senior director. He had an AMC nomination a year before. Just working on the conversation with these people that they were saying, I was arguing with them that, I rather become a star on Instagram than become a star on YouTube. That I rather put my energy and my money on Instagram than put my energy and money on YouTube. I was sure that was how the man just came and just said, yeah, you're joking. You don't know anything. He started telling me some things about YouTube. That YouTube is the future, blah, blah, blah. This one, down. I still didn't agree, actually. But because of the fact that I better do it than find out that I regret not doing it. So, okay, fine. Let me even prove them wrong that this thing that they talk. Then I now did the YouTube stuff. I posted a video. Do you know what actually got me in love with YouTube? It was the fact that I was starting all over again. It was a feeling that got me in love with YouTube. The fact that I posted a video and then I was now seeing my subscriber count from 1 to 2. Then after 30 days, it was 12. I was sending messages to my people, my friends. Oh, yeah, guy, Alpha, you don't subscribe to my channel. Oh, yeah, go subscribe when you don't get data. Oh, yeah, go send you small data. Go subscribe. Like, the vibe was just funny. Like, I had thousands of people that are following me on Instagram. And I knew that a lot of people, at least I have more than 10 people that know me in this world. But I didn't have more than 12 subscribers. It was always busting my head. I checked. I saw 8 views, 6 views, 4 views. So after a while, I pushed another video. I told them that I wanted to do another video. I did another video. I dropped it. Then after a while, I saw that the more I was doing it, the more people were interacting, the more people were subscribing. And then I started feeling the impact of actually getting return for work. Even though I was not getting paid that time, I wasn't even monetized that time. Like, I wasn't getting that money or any financial remuneration from that stuff. But I was enjoying the journey of and the process of doing something and getting return for it. So I feel that consistency gives you an ability and a key to fulfillment. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bad your product is, the fact that you're consistent in doing that product or producing that product, it gives you a chance at surviving and making success on that product. It gives you a very big chance because you are better off than someone that knows. A lot of people actually, they're analysts. They know how to analyze the good and the bad. They know the bad brands and the brands that will never survive and the brands that will survive. Yeah. But they never do anything. Now, guess what? The bad brands that they see are the ones that will never survive and the ones that will fail. We still do more in the market than they that have never done anything. So I feel that consistency is the only thing that differentiates people that are successful and people are not successful. Like, even if you are not good, whatever you're doing, the fact that you're consistent and you're doing it for a number of years, naturally, some things will come to you. It's not better. Like, naturally, some things will come to you, whether you want to accept it or not. Now, look at it. Some people that are maybe bricklayers, for example, they are going to decide to go and lift up bags of cement and blocks and all. They will just find out that after 2 years or so, their muscles start shaping. It may not shape in the perfect way that you think it should be if you're a gym instructor or not, but they start getting muscles, they start getting the normal abs and fibers in the right part of their body, even though not in the right quantity or the way it would have been if it was more intentional. Yeah, they are far better than a guy that just sits in his house and wakes up and condemns the clear.
True.
Because there's consistency of a process in that person. So I feel that consistency is the only thing that stands people out there. Ronaldo, for example, and Messi. A lot of people say Messi is better than Ronaldo. I'm a dad from Ronaldo for one basis. For one basis, that guy is very consistent and very hardworking. I don't even care if he's not as talented as Messi naturally. But the fact that he could put in so much work and give Messi a run for his name and talent, I give him a lot of kudos for that. So I feel that consistency is like is the biggest currency of all after time. And the two of them are even working together. So what are we saying?
So, Timmy, moving on. I feel basically I know two phases of you when you were in school and now that you're in Lagos or the real industry. And there's this question that I know you must have been asked a whole lot. So I heard that you finished with first class from law school. It was a very popular trend then. And you obviously know the question I'm going to ask next. How were you able to, because most times people, they're like, this guy not fit the MCO because he focus on a book. But obviously now you have been able to prove that whole fact that you cannot be the best of both worlds. So how were you able to manage yourself to achieve that kind of fit in law school and still you were active, fully active in the whole entertainment industry?
I think there's something that all of us have to actually correct. Entertainers are not mediocres.
Yeah.
We are not. We are not mediocres. Entertainers are not mediocres. So many times, like when people see you do entertainment, they obviously or automatically just assume that you can't do well academically or in some serious stuff in life. And that's wrong. That's unacceptable. Like, okay, I don't want to like sound proud or pompous now. I wasn't doing bad in some things in my life before I started entertainment. So doing entertainment was never easy for me to now go worse or anything. Once I could manage my time and manage my priorities. And then my law school time, I was still doing my entertainment on the side on the low, just to like do one or two things, just keep the brand out there. Then when it was time for my exams and all, I put in all my effort and I did the work and the equal job that someone that was not into entertainment was doing for that grade in my own rights too. So I feel that a lot of people always, when they see us as entertainers, they just automatically believe that our lives cannot be serious or productive. And it's wrong. So that's why a lot of people get very surprised when the entertainers do some stuff differently. Like, because I'm doing that, entertainment itself is actually a very, 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 very tasking and demanding craft. If you want to ever survive that industry, you have to be very productive, creative, diligent, and even smart. So, I don't know where people got the idea of entertainment making people dull people or people not being able to do other stuff academically in another field. I know a couple of entertainers that are very, very sound intellectually and even academically. So I just feel, for me personally, my law school time, I had very, very challenging time in law school from the start to the finish. Like from start to finish, it was very challenging for me. But I was able to put my differences and my difficulties at my back, manage my time appropriately, and I fought my battles as if they were my last battles in my life. That was basically it for me. So whenever I had an exam or when I had my exams coming up, my final exams in law school, I read and prepared for those exams like they were the last example I would ever write in my entire life. That was how I prepared for them. And I was very happy when the result came out. My hard work and my efforts didn't go in vain. I'm still very happy. And I still feel so motivated to do even more things, whether it's academics or not. So that's not that bad.
All right. So, Tibi, I want to ask before we put an end to this, what advice would you give for a public speaker, young entrepreneur or creative that is that wants to make a difference in the industry?
I'll just say get better with your craft, keep pushing it, and stop listening to what people want to say to deter you or discourage you. If you are convinced that you can do it, give it your best shot and don't ever stop for anybody. They will come join you. They will catch up.
All right. Thank you very much, Timmy Agbaje, for gracing the Journey Podcast with your, you know, with your marvelous presence.
It's a big pleasure, bro. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So where can we find you, Timmy? Where can we find you?
Instagram at TIMIAGBAJE. Twitter TIMI_AGBAJE. YouTube TIMI_AGBAJE. Facebook TIMI_AGBAJE. Literally Timmy Agbaje on every platform except Twitter _.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Timmy. God bless.
And you too, bro.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. The next one will be out next week, Thursday. Thank you very much. Please subscribe, like, and drop a comment. Yeah. I love you guys. Bye-bye.